Hello and welcome to We're Watching What? I'm your host Dana, or the DHK as I'm known, and we watched two things this week. We started off with The Creator, which is a new original science fiction movie. Major spoiler alert for that one. Also, a spoiler alert for Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, which is from the same director. And then we watched Totally Killer, which is a new slasher, horror, spooky season film out on Amazon Prime. Major spoiler alert for that one. And without further ado, here's We're Watching What? All right, we saw The Creator. What did you think?
It's funny, this is one of those films that my opinion of, and I don't know if opinion's the right word, but like how I was feeling while watching it, at least for the first like two thirds, is like totally different now than it was then.
Okay.
After I saw it over a week ago.
Okay.
So I've had time to like think
about
it.
You've had time to digest, yeah.
Very excited for the film, obviously. Film, you know, fans of the filmmaker here.
Yes.
You know, and I think it's like immediately I like that he has this tendency to just drop you into the world. Like that's what he does, right? I think what worked against this a tad on my first watch, because I will watch it again, but my first watch is that it took me a bit of time to get fully invested in the people in the world.
Okay.
Whereas like I look at the structure of Rogue One, right? And you look at like, okay, very similar structure, but Rogue One already has the established world where we know what that movie was about going in.
Yes.
So like it didn't take me very long to like get on board with caring about what was going on, right?
Right.
But he has this tendency to just throw you in and stuff's just happening and everything. And I love that he doesn't overdo the spoon feeding and stuff. That's what I love about him as a filmmaker. And then we spent a lot of time with John David Washington, who I also think I need him to be a bit stronger of an actor for being a leading man. Mm-hmm. I like him and I think he's totally fine, but I need a little like, there's something about him. It doesn't like every time like Gemma was on screen, I'm completely captivated by her. I just am. Cause she just has that thing, you know, like that, I don't know. Anyway, that was all to say by the end of it, I was super on board. I liked the story. I felt like parts of the story were very derived from other things, but the political commentary that was put in to it, or social commentary, I should say.
Yeah.
About America versus and how we treat this subject and would treat it. Kind of even went into like District 9 zones for me with like the kind of commentary there. Like I appreciated that a lot and I felt that really shine through. And the kid is amazing.
Yes. Amazing. Yes. She's amazing.
She's incredible.
Yeah. I agree with you on the dropping in part. It was interesting because I ended up going to this little like preview where they only showed us three scenes from it early. And the first thing they showed us was that intro scene, that beach, you know, raid, etc. And I assumed that that was like further into the film than what it was, because it really doesn't give you context of like he's like implanted as a spy and like living this whole life. And, you know, like all of that was done very quickly. And I got like the preface of, you know, the director introducing that. But then if I hadn't known that going into it, I would have, I may have found myself a little confused. I don't think it's so much so that like, you know, it'd be it'd take you out of it. But it was very much like, this is the world. Okay, good luck.
Yeah. Like just get on board. And again, I like that style because it's just, sometimes I don't need that full over explanation about what's going on. You know, it's just like, just give it to me. And I appreciate that he does that. And I liked it here. It's just, it was taking just some time for me to really get the emotional
investment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Going here. And I felt that the reveals that we got along the way about like, who was it? Nimada. Who Nimada was and who this child ended up being, all that kind of stuff. It felt like that stuff was more obvious than I wanted it to be.
Yeah.
A little bit. Like I was like, okay, clearly, you know, like right. I felt that way. It was like, that was like what the only thing I was sure about when trying to figure out the world was the stuff that they were going to reveal, you know? And so it felt very like, okay, obviously there was still some creativity there that I didn't see coming. Like the way the child came about and all that stuff. I didn't, I guess, see all of that.
Yeah. But although
the who of it all I got.
I mean, I think we're going to go into spoilers. Like this is such a surface level complaint for lack of, you know, but the fact that this like child who we've seen through this movie is bioengineered off of like their baby, I was like, I see Gemma Chan in this kid. I don't see John David Washington in this.
Yeah. Like a clear misdirect on purpose.
Yeah. And I was just like, okay, I guess. We're going to take a quick break and be right back. And we're back. You know, I, like you, I still like this movie a lot. In fact, I think it's going to be like the fourth movie my parents go see because I told them to go see it because I think my mom will really like it. But, you know, having a little more distance from it, I came out of it being like, this is friggin' awesome.
Yeah.
There are things I wanted more out of it immediately. And the further I get from it, the more I'm like, oh, I really wish. Because like, I don't feel like it goes into the philosophical debate of it a lot. And that's such a heavy, and it's, you know, now a little bit of time has passed since the movie came out and the writer's strike has resolved since then. But when it came out, like the writer's strike was heavily ongoing. And so it's just like, oh, the timing of this could not have been more perfect. Obviously, the SAG strike is still going while we're recording this. But, you know, just the idea of like who, what is life, right? Like what is, which is not what the WGA strike and SAG strike are about, but it is like, you know, at a certain point, what does like this thing become its own autonomous thing versus like, oh, you don't deserve, you know, you're just a copy of or you're whatever. And I didn't go into that. And also I had all these like geopolitical questions where I was like, I love the idea that, you know, Asia in this is actually like the peaceful, you know, accepting group, because usually on screen, like oftentimes they get made to be the bad guys. And then this, it's like, actually, no, it's the military industrial complex. But then I was like, where's the rest of Asia in this? And also, like, where is the rest of the world in this? You know, like, has I don't even want to say Russia. Has, like, what is Brazil's stance on AI, right? Like, what are these other large, what is India's stance on AI? Like, what are these other large, or Germany? Like, what does Germany think of this? Because, you know, the idea that the, like, the US would get to just roam around free to, you know, effectively, like, bomb other countries, like, is nobody putting them in check? Like, what happened to the rest of the world in this? And those are questions that, like, it's good because it means I'm invested in the world he's built, but I'm like, these feel big. Like, these feel, maybe they needed to be addressed.
You made this huge global story, but then you decided to put it in this box to tell us, like, you know, a very specific thing happening with it. But yeah, this would be something that the entire world is like super invested in. And, you know, I get the whole idea that like, okay, America has decided, okay, this is villains because of what happened in LA being bombed. And I like the line that it was like, we are in peace and we didn't do that. It was human error, but they just blame us for it. Like that to me is just so like, course that's what happened. And I like the message behind, you know, talking about AI in general, it's like, well, how far is too far? And I think we probably would sit here and probably agree on like, okay, just because you can, I don't think this means you need to.
You should,
Like, and it's so human, but also very unfortunately American, but human in general, and many other countries too, to have this idea that like, okay, you create this and you push it to this limit, and then you all of a sudden are mad at it and want to like take it down.
Right.
And are blaming it for things. But it's like, you made this. You did this.
Right. So, like, or if it's the narrative, right? Like, because I guess for me, it's like, you know, AI or just like super intelligent or whatever. I'm like, I don't know if it's inherently evil, but the people who make it are the ones who are, you know, the people who are programming it, people who are like training it are flawed because they are people. And therefore, you know, it's just, again, these are like the larger philosophical things that I'm like, We didn't go into this. And I would have loved to see like a prequel series on this about like the rise of this, you know, universe.
It's the rare, it's a rare thing. Often we sit here and we watch like shows and stuff and we're like, oh, this could have been a movie or could have been shorter. This could have been a series 100%.
And yeah, I'm like, give me really more.
Good. I think it would have been really good, you know, like to really flesh that out. I felt when I was talking about like the first 2/3 were kind of like, I don't want to even say they were rough for me because I was enjoying what I was watching. I just was like trying to get it more invested and it wasn't happening yet. And I felt around the time we get to the point where he has found Gemma Chan's character.
Yeah.
And she's in her kind of coma state.
Yeah.
There was a raid and stuff that was happening, or like a big action sequence that was happening just before that.
Mm-hmm.
And while watching it, I was like, okay, we're not far enough into the movie for this to be like the start of the finale.
Mm-hmm.
But this action sequence is going on a little long. And I was like, this thing was so action heavy that I was like, God, I would have trimmed that middle down, gotten there sooner, and I would have stretched that finale sequence out to a half hour. Like, I would have had the same length of the film.
Yeah.
Just would have reallocated time. Because I think about, not to compare everything to Rogue One, I don't mean to always do that here, but when you look at the finale.
Well, the writers are the same, you know, two of the writers.
Yeah. And structurally, structurally, it is the DNA of it and the way it's told.
No, there's
is
definitely
similar,
like Rogue One themes too. Yes, yeah.
And I think of the last like 40 minutes of Rogue One, I just think of the flawlessness of that, like, just piece of art to me. Like, and I just like, yeah, it is just so emotionally charged and amazing. And by the time we get to the point where we're up there on this, you know, the whatever it's called, with the D, something it was called, but that they were trying to bring
down.
It's
basically down. The Death Star.
Yeah, essentially, yeah. I was like, okay, up there, I got really into it and I got really emotional. And like when, you know, she's trying to like, okay, let me put the Gemma Chan's memory into this new version of her and hope we bring her alive. It was all cool and poetic, but it was so rushed and quick. We were on a 5-minute countdown and stuff. It was so just like tense and you know, great.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, I just would have loved if you just like spread out what's happening up here over a longer period of time instead of feeling, it felt like I had to rush through it at the end.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. And like the, you know, the reunion didn't feel like it emotionally paid off. Like, I know he has this line early and that's, you know, it's like, oh, but I wouldn't give for like one more minute or whatever. And I was like, okay, I get it. But like, because we also haven't established like, is this her? Is this a copy of her? You know, we haven't gone in. Like, no, this is really like the original download. Into it was just like,
yeah.
Gemma Chan bought.
Yeah, exactly.
But it was, I kept writing. I was like, oh, they have not like gotten all the Star Wars DNA out of their system yet. Not in a bad way, but I was just like, okay, the structural, we have to get to the thing far up in space and like we have to do this stuff and there will be, you know, I was just like, yeah this is not a bad plot, but it's, we've seen it before from you, you know, you all.
Yeah. Well, I was like the sneaking in element. I was like, oh, are you going to put on your Imperial uniforms to do this?
Yeah.
Or are you just you know, like in every Star Wars film that's ever existed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But it, and again, it's like, why the hell not? Right. You know what I mean? Like it still had stuff because there was also a lot of, you know, AI, there was a lot of Blade Runner, particularly 2049, mm-hmm. a lot of influences you could see.
Oh yeah.
But used in such a way that none of it felt like, oh, what a totally unoriginal concept. It was like, right. It was using things that exist, but like, hey, let's put this. And that's why I think the social commentary on top of it all was so interesting and important. And I agree with you. I wish that it could have just even been expanded upon further.
Yeah.
But I was mostly drawn to that over the action and the kind of like, oh, okay, what's actually going on? Right. You know, more kind of like the backstory.
Yeah.
So
from like a filmmaking perspective, this is sort of how I was skewed because I did see like this little talk back of parts of it, you know, finding out that and some of this is a little amped up for like awards and PR stuff, but you know, they did a lot of that. Like they didn't film in clean environments in terms of like background plates and like a lot of them weren't actors and it looked flawless most of the time. And I'm like, okay, we can do this, you know, in this level movie, but we can't get like wigs to look this or we can't like do it, you know, not the wigs. The wigs is not the wigs. But, but you know, like the VFX we see on something like a Disney Plus series or something, right? Yeah. Or like even a Netflix series or Netflix original, any of these streaming things. And I know they're different budgets, but you managed to do it with, you know, challenging circumstances. So it can be done. And the way those like completely CG characters just like integrated into the scenes. Yeah. I was watching a lot of the action being like, what the hell? Like, and also trying to imagine like directing, you know, whoever these Southeast Asian extras are to be like, just look over there and look like forlorn. Yeah. But like, they're like, what are you talking about? You know, but doing a great job of it. I was like, damn, this was challenging. I'm really impressed.
Totally. Yeah. Technically speaking, it's amazing. And I agree with you. It looked great. And it was like, God, refreshing. It's kind of, again, to kind of bring up, and there was more CGI in what I'm about to say, at least character-wise, but like going back to like District 9, like, I mean, at the time, that looked incredible.
I mean, District 9 still looks good. Yeah.
It still looks good, but I just mean like it looked like real and you're like on location. It felt real. The people there were real. And it's like you have these creatures, the aliens, there's CGI and some robotic stuff too, I think, but it looked and felt raw and real. And that's what this evoked for me is it was like, this feels like a real future.
Yeah.
And it looked great. And it's like, not to poo-poo all over another DC property, but it was like the trailers I was watching, it's like Aquaman had to be in front of it. And it's like, that could not look weaker right now with the special effects. I know it's a trailer still, but holy moly. But
that's you putting your best foot forward and being like, hey.
Yeah.
Like.
And it's just like things like that, like on the front of this movie, I was like, oh, for shame. Like this is, because it looks great. Yeah. And so I love that. And I think there's obviously he he has a lot of talented people around him, but when you look at his films, I would argue, I don't know how much of it comes down to the planning and stuff on the team that he works with and the planning parts and all the things with how they allocate the resources of their production. But I would say his stuff generally looks pretty good. Like Star Wars has massive budget, but like Rogue One looks amazing. I don't know if everyone is against or for whatever, but I actually like his Godzilla film. And I felt like that also looked pretty good. Like it's like he uses, granted, Godzilla was barely in it, but which is, I know a big people complain for people, probably why I liked it, but he shoots things in a way his DP does, but it directs them in a way that it has a look about it that it's starting to kind of have his signature, where I'm kind of like, oh, you can tell this is his film. Yeah. And I loved that about it.
Yeah, I didn't dislike his Godzilla. I remember being very excited because at one point, like, I saw it in Oakland, and Oakland shows up, and the whole audience was like, everyone's like, that's our city!
Yeah.
So the energy of the crowd with which I saw Godzilla, like, helped amp it up.
It's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, and I know, I only said I wasn't sure how people felt, because I remember at that time, I remember a lot of like, oh my god, and Godzilla's barely in it, it was so boring and stuff, and I agreed that maybe he could have been in it more, but I really liked that it was this like character story, and you either liked the characters or you didn't, but it was a story that I was like, okay, it's a human people story and Godzilla is an accessory to this different plot, and it was a different kind of take on that. I loved it.
Yeah, so, okay. I also loved that when he did show up, he showed up in style and like ripped his face open of the thing, just threw up fire into it, like that's memorable, you know, it's like
and he looks great, you know, the modern redesign of him looked great.
I'm very interested to see like what my parents think of it, because again, they haven't seen a lot of movies, but I was like, I feel like this is up their alley, but you know, the further away we get from it, again, the more like mixed reviews of it, I'm like, that's fine, everyone's entitled to there. But it was just also really nice to see something that is technically original, you know, like yes, we've seen components of it before, but not in this order or this whatever, and I was like, yeah, great. Yeah, it's gonna be all these funny Asian people. Like,
yeah, and I'm that opposite, where the further away I get from it, I'm liking it more than I even did. And I came out of it liking it. But I'm looking back and I'm like, yeah, you know, on a second watch, now that I have the established care and investment going in, I'll probably like it a lot better than I did even then. So that's exciting. So I hope I do. I want to see it again in the theater, because it's like, it's a theater movie.
It is a theater movie. Yeah.
It's fantastic. So
yes. At the time of recording, my parents will be going to see it tomorrow morning. From when we're recording this at 10 a.m. I was like, what?
Whoa.
So there's nobody there, which I was like, yeah, that tracks.
Yeah.
Trying to minimize other crowds. I was like, yeah, all right.
Peaceful and hopefully COVID-free.
Hopefully, yes. Knock on wood. Yeah.
Knock on the
wood. All right. So the other thing we watched is Totally Killer. And this one, I really need your... I'm sad Jackie's not here for this one, but I really actually need like both of you to help calibrate my reaction to it. So what did you think of it?
I had a pretty decently good time watching this movie. I thought it was fun.
Okay.
And I prefaced by saying, obviously, I love a slasher flick. I could have used more slash, but I loved a slasher flick. I actually love comedy, a dramedy, even a drama, a lot of times set in high school, I find. I just like it, even when they're all adults. But I'm drawn to that setting for some reason. And so by the time we get to the 80s and it's like this like Heathers.
Yes. Yeah.
The thing. And I laughed a lot at a lot of really stupid stuff, but I enjoyed it. I thought the time travel thing was a little like, it's silly, but at the same time and it's problematic in the way where we talk about time travel all the time, but it's like, it just makes sense to me sometimes.
Yes.
And I have complaints about this, but I liked that they also joked about it themselves, and I felt like the film was very self-aware but not in an annoying way. It felt like it was like it knows what it is and it's not trying to be more than that, right? You know, so I enjoyed it. I didn't think the reveal of the killers was interesting at all, and I thought it suffered there. You look at something like Scream, and with exception of Scream 3, I would say the reveal of who's doing it always is tied to some like interesting thing, and I felt this was not very interesting.
No. It was very secondary.
You can't do a whodunit and not have the reveal be like interesting. It was just very, I don't know. So that was a bummer for me. But what'd you think? Yeah.
I did not like it.
Okay.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, I know I am missing out on some of the core foundational references. There are moments where I was like, oh, somebody like looked back at the camera. I was like, is that like an actor from, you know, I was like, is that the guy who plays Michael Myers? I don't know what's going on here. Mm. But I do know the plot of most of the, you know, classic slasher, horror, Halloween-ish films. And so I was like, okay, I think I generally know what's going on. My problem with it was that I wasn't scared by it. Like, I was able to watch it, right? So I was like, okay, it's not a scary movie, so it's not for, you know, people looking for that type of thrill. I didn't laugh once during it. And I was like, I think they weren't willing to commit to the fact that I like the concept of like, hey, this like modern person is going back to the 80s and she keeps like pointing out how problematic some things were. But I was like, everything should be much worse. And her reaction to it is not, it's just like she'll deliver the line and then we just don't comment on it further.
Yeah.
And I feel like if they had like been willing to like kind of more like Bottoms, you know, yeah. I think would have been tonally what I was looking for if they were going to lean into the comedy stuff. And then the time travel, I was just like, oh my God, this makes no sense. And we've lost the plot on all of it.
The time travel gets rough. I liked the setup of the logic about like that she was using for like, oh, if you go back in time and just stop the killer, then your mom doesn't die, blah, blah, blah. Like I liked that idea. But then, especially by the time she gets back, and it's like, oh, that's your 34-year-old brother and this and that. And it's like, okay. But now we have to believe that her parents still decided to like fornicate the exact time and place and everything that they did to have her as now their second child. Stuff like that. Like, it's just silly little things that's like, okay, you're not supposed to think that hard. But I can't. It's just been done so many times that you just have to look at the butterfly effect of everything.
Right. Yeah.
And it just gets tough. Which is why I bumped on the time machine thing. I get that they decided they needed to be able to do that for like the rest of the plot also. It wasn't just her getting there, but
I mean, it was, okay.
I like stories about like I love like 13 going on 30 or like something like I love that stuff. Right. And I'm willing to sit there and accept that this magical dust on this dollhouse was able to do that for her. Like I'm able to accept that. Right. And it's all good, but somehow, built an operating time machine, whatever, which, okay, maybe someday, I don't know. But that whole thing, I was like, oh God, I wish this was just some weird thing that she got sent back to the 80s for some whatever reason.
Yeah, struck by lightning.
Like, yeah, I almost just didn't need the extra, like, don't try to make this logical at all. Just, like, send her back somehow and I'll just be on board with it, you know. But yeah, I don't know. I laughed at, it's funny, I didn't laugh at most of the call outs, like we're talking about, of like, oh, this is inappropriate now, whatever. And I agree that those weren't done very well and they could have been done a lot better and really leaned into it. Mm-hmm. And a Bottoms writing pass would have really, really sent this over the top in a good way.
Yeah.
But I laughed at random little things like, God, like even at the gym teacher or whoever it was, like in the present day, and he was just like, so they're talking about with a killer, and that's when you're just like, oh, and my advice if you see the killer is to run. It's so stupid, but it like caught me off guard. I laughed, and then the other gym teacher in the 80s, and she was like mean to her, and then she had blood because getting hit with a dodgeball and falling or something. Yeah. And she goes just something about like, and I had to touch your gross kid blood or something. And she was just like stupid stuff like that. I just like got unexpected laughs, but yeah. But I mean, it could have been a lot better overall. But it was just a nice, pleasant watch and kind of a surprise for me because I actually didn't really know anything about that it existed, and I thought it would have been on my radar, but. It wasn't.
Well, yeah. So that's why I was like, I'm not the target audience for this. So I'm glad to hear that you know, enjoyed it. But I was just like, I just don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. And
like, yeah, I thought
the intended audience.
Right. You know? And the other thing that was like frustrating was I know they explain why the killer has, you know, just athletic prowess above and beyond. Like, but I was just like, this is much. This is much.
It was that, the whole thing was much.
Yes, but, yes. But yeah, I don't know. I wanted it to go further, honestly. Or I was even willing to like have it scare me, which is not ideal. But I just I didn't feel like for me it committed to either direction enough.
Yeah,
but maybe it's totally just because I'm not the.
No, I think you're right. I think everything you're saying makes total sense, and I think that I'm. While I of course will stand by enjoying it, I think I'm uniquely a target audience somehow for this type of thing when I'm in the mood. It's like a
yeah.
mood thing. Like if I went to the theaters to go see this,
no,
yeah. I've been like looking forward to it for months or something, I would have been like, I mean, but sometimes, I mean, horror, like slasher films like this are my like version of somebody going to watch the next Jason Statham action film because it's just
me.
Like, turn
that's
your
someone
brain
is
off
me.
And just yeah,
yes.
this is like the horror slasher type. That's my version of that right. kind of mindless. Just like turn my brain off and just like have a good time and not care too much. That's this for me.
Yeah. yeah. So no, that makes sense. Pretty... It's like a good spooky season background watch, I would imagine.
Exactly. It's pretty rare that I watch a slasher film like this and like come out like disliking it.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, eh. You know, and none of them, even the best ones, for the most part, are typically not amazing. You know what I mean? It's just kind of yeah. like, it's a very specific...
it's a specific genre, for sure. Genre yeah.
of film that just yeah. kind of... And when you take... I think horror is kind of, especially a slasher, but horror in general is kind of versatile in a lot of ways where you have your horror, you have your drama horror, you have your comedy horror, your action horror, like it can right. just, you can have an element to that. And comedy horror is something that, I mean, I put Scream in that category where it's like, mm-hmm. it's still scary in parts and it's a slasher, but it's funny.
Yeah.
And I feel like it kind of reinvented that a little bit. In a way, or kind of introduced it in a bigger way, because I think a lot of them that were in the 80s and stuff that we spoof on now weren't meant to be funny at the
time. No, absolutely not. No.
It's just of the time. Like now I watch Halloween and I'm like laughing, but it's
yeah.
I love it, but I'm laughing, but it's like it wasn't meant to be laughed at.
No.
And so anyway, Scream was meant to be laughed at. And then I feel like this is trying to carry on that tradition. So
it's, yeah. But I think the danger with the modern ones is like the they're too trying to be too in on the joke. Like yeah. there were a couple of moments where, you know, when Randall Park does say like, he makes a comment about like, I hate time travel movies because they never get it right. Yeah. And I was like,
Yeah.
Like you're just guilty of it. Or the fact that like, yeah. part of me is like, okay, I kind of like that they reference Back to the Future, but it felt like they were relying too much on it to,
yeah.
you know, carry them through and be like, hey, you know, this is how it works. And it's funny because I can't remember if I watched this before or after, but I watched this back to back with Loki and it was like two very different time travel experiences where it made it so I was like, you know what? Loki's fine. It's fine yeah, that they like go back to the past and they're like rewriting the future. Sense. That's fine. Like they're just like hand wavy, like, oh, yeah. Like that, to quote Ouroboros, like that makes perfect sense. It makes yeah. perfect sense if you think about it, you know, like.
It's funny that they referenced Endgame in it too. Now it's yeah, since you were like yeah. literally Loki's a product of Endgame and
yes, yeah. So yeah. But I'm glad you liked it because I was yeah. trying to decide. I was like, am I being too harsh on this?
I don't think so. Yeah.
Probably not. But it's good to know that like, you know, if you do like slasher, like, you know, popcorn feeder yeah. spooky season, this could work.
Yeah, I definitely texted my cousin and I was like, have you watched it? And she goes, no, and I was like, yeah, you should. It's fun and cute yeah. and she likes yeah. Kiernan and you know. Yeah.
Well, excellent.
Perfect.
All right. Well, we're watching what? What else have we been watching?
I have watched. I went to go see Exorcist Believer.
Mm.
Which?
No, thank you.
Yeah, which I think you should watch. no, I actually enjoyed it. It kind of had a similar thing where it's like perfect length in my mind, but I would have like taken 20 minutes out of the middle, like this subplot, and I would have repurposed it in a very specific way and shown more possession stuff. But I liked it, and the girls were great. The cast across the board was good, but the two girls that are possessed were great. So I see it's getting kind of very mixed reviews, and so if anyone's interested in it, I think you should see it because it was decent. You know, like it was decent. It was just
no, I believe, I believe you.
Yeah, well done. And then I watched Saw X. Which
you went full spooky season.
Oh yeah. Which you know, I'm a I like a Saw film. I love the first one, but I've watched them all and they're, you know, they get pretty crazy and terrible at times, but they're fun still if you're sick, you know. And this one took itself a little seriously in a way, I don't know, but it was like whatever, okay. Enjoyable yeah. enough. Yeah. But I don't know if I'm getting squeamish. Maybe you're rubbing off on me a little or something. But I was like, a couple of the gory parts in this film like were kind of making me queasy. Like, it was that, because it's just getting to a place where it's like, let's just be as insane as possible.
Well, that's what I was going to say. They have to keep topping themselves. Yeah. And so it's just like they're running out
what's
of
funny is,
grossness.
I always say, because Jackie will always say that she's never seen a Saw film, but she's not into what she calls torture porn. Right.
Yeah, and that's, yeah, like, no, that's what it is. Yeah.
A lot of the early to mid 2000s became that, and Saw kind of spawned it in my mind. And then Hostel and all these things came out. But the mm-hmm. first Saw in 2004 was like this kind of shift. But the irony of it is that I'm not recommending that you do it, but either of you not liking that kind of gore, either both of you could watch mm-hmm. the first Saw and not be like so squeamish with the gore, because it's really not very gory. It's more just like a mental thing. Like, you don't,
yeah,
you know, it's all, oh, he has to saw his foot off. You don't see him saw it off. You look at his face while he's doing it. So it's like intense and you're like, oh no, but you don't see it happen. But everything since then has to be like, let's make the most realistic
yeah
bloodbath possible. And it's like, okay, so anyway, right. That one I don't recommend as much, but yeah,
I'm still never gonna watch it, but I appreciate the contextual.
No, I don't think you should, but
if I was like forced to, you know, if Jigsaw literally showed up as like, yes, do you want to play a game, you have to watch Saw, yeah, I could survive.
You're like, okay, I'll do it. Yeah, exactly.
I do have some level of understanding of these horror movies.
yeah you'll too, but it's absolutely necessary, you know.
Yeah. But all right, you know, that's, what did I watch? I've been watching Love is Blind, which is, mm-hmm. it's truly terrible. There's nobody to root for this season. And it is like, the talk of the season is that there's nobody to root for.
Yeah.
I also watched a Filipino movie called A Very Good Girl, which it's out in U.S. cinemas technically. It's with Dolly De Leon, who I love.
Oh, okay.
It was very interesting. And I hope... It was very campy, and I don't know, much like a Saw or a Scream or whatever, if it was like intended to be that way. But if you would look through it at that lens, then it's fine. You know, if you were trying to be like, this is a serious, and I'm going to assume they filmed this before Triangle of Sadness, but it's now like riding the code, because I was just like, this is interesting. This would have been an interesting follow-up choice if that was the case. But yeah, but I enjoyed myself. But I was just like, you know, it's a small thing.
Well, I'm reading the synopsis and it doesn't sound very serious. So it sounds like it knows what it
well,
is.
Well, it's like, it's kind of, I don't know. I see, this is the thing. I knew nothing about it going into it. Okay, it does say it's a revenge thing. Yeah. It felt like a little like Talented Mr. Ripley.
Okay,
You know, a little bit of just like, so there are some of it that I was like, yeah, all right.
Yeah, well, I mean, honestly, like anything Dolly at this point.
Right, exactly.
Like, she could read the dictionary and I'll watch it probably.
Right. So it was fun, and I got to go to like an event with it, and I was like, all right, this nice. Is, you know, this is a good, much like Godzilla. It was a good crowd.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And then of course catching up on my Housewives and my 90 Day. Again, we're still in reality TV land. And I finished Starstruck.
Never leaving.
Yeah, okay. Never leaving. Never leaving at this rate.
I have no interest in leaving. Yeah.
I'd like to be able to vacation elsewhere again. I am starting to feel the itch for scripted again.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah.
Yeah, take little breaks here and there, but it's they really get you.
Yeah, they sure do.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank y'all.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you, as per usual, to Matt, and that is actually it for this episode. If you liked it, we would love it if you could leave us a rating or a review or even consider subscribing.